The Lord said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. But he did make a request. Sometimes the Lord will grant that request, and sometimes he might not. And trusting the Lord is, anyway, it's good to be saved. I'll put it that way. And it's a blessing to be able to trust in him, because who else are we going to trust to get to heaven? Amen, it's him. Amen. All right, hope everybody had a good afternoon. It's a blessing to be back with you guys. I really had a good day today. I mean, it's just been a good trip. The hotel you guys let us stay in was just superb. They even fed us breakfast, amen. And it was a good time, and got to fellowship with Brother Ben some this afternoon, and I saw my sister, and it was good to see her, and it's been a good trip, and really enjoyed being with you guys this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor Miller, and you got a wonderful church here, and it's a blessing to see, blessing to be with you guys. Micah chapter 5, that's an Old Testament somewhere. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. I got that from Brother Jack Patterson. How many of you know him? He says, oh, it's in the Bible somewhere. Yeah, he's a blessing. He's one of those guys I like sitting down and just listening to him talk. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Brother Ben, okay. Well, never mind. But, yeah, he's a real blessing. Micah chapter 5. He worked at Roloff Homes, if that tells you anything. All right, Micah chapter 5. I better get my little sound speaker thing up here. I appreciate the sound, man. Brother, I hadn't met you, but I know what it's like being the sound man. And it's an important job that most people don't think about until something goes wrong. And then when something goes wrong, everybody looks back there and says, oh, what'd he do now? Yeah, so let's see if I can get this thing to snap on. Okay, Micah chapter 5. This morning we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and I was going to preach about how to get rewards tonight, but we're not going to go that route, okay? We're going to go a different route, and Micah chapter 5, let's pray. Dear Lord, it sure is good to be saved. It's good to have your pure words, this King James Bible, Lord. And Father, we need to hear from you. And Lord, I don't want to hinder that. I pray that you'll help me to preach your words faithfully to your people here today, tonight, this evening. And I pray that you'll touch everybody that was here this morning, help them. And us here today, thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Micah chapter 5. Now, I just have to admit, I'm really excited about what we're fixing to talk about. Some subjects stir you up more than others, and this is good. All right, Micah 5:1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. All right, so we're getting some prophecies going on here. Look at verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, does that ring a bell from something in the New Testament? Well, it should, Matthew chapter 2. You can hold your place in Micah. We'll see the cross reference to Matthew chapter 2. Now, throughout the New Testament are quotations from the Old Testament. Okay? Like we quoted this morning, that which was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And Paul preached plenty. I mean, he used the Old Testament. And there's Jesus Christ. The name was not found in the Old Testament. The name Jesus. But he was there. Okay? He's all in it. Look at Matthew chapter 2 and look at verse 5. And they said unto him, these are the chief priests and scribes of the people, okay? It says in verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, what did they leave off? They left some off. They left the last part of verse 2 off. It says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see, what was that, Herod? I mean, they said, yeah, this guy that's supposed to be king, yeah, it's prophesied that he's coming, but they didn't give him, they didn't tell Herod about his deity. You picking up what we're putting down? I mean, maybe they did, but they left off from the part that says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, we did the timeline this morning, and I think I got it right because I don't want to get dyslexic. Okay, that's eternity past, that's eternity in the future, okay? Now, this morning, we used that spindle well to be the beginning of time, okay? It's too far to walk, okay? Right here at this corner is the beginning of time this evening, okay? Jesus Christ has been from everlasting. That's like not stopping at Adam. It's not stopping at the creation of the earth. It's before earth was even created. From everlasting, okay? Now, let's look at a cross reference here. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90, the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. Now, this morning was kind of rough, at least I felt like it was. This is one of those, It's not as rough here, but anyway, it's good stuff. Psalms 90, and look at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So the verse that we know, let's ask. Hope I don't fall off of here. Would you agree that in Micah 5:2, it's talking about Jesus Christ? Okay? I mean, they quoted it in Matthew. Okay? Pretty evident. Now, this, it says Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay? We know from the verse in Psalms that the Lord quoted, the Lord said unto my Lord, and I forgot the verse, but where God the Father is all caps, and then the Son is capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Okay? Sit on thy right hand at thy footstool. Okay? So, Psalm 90, it says, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So, on our timetable, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Okay? So, as far back as you can go, which you can't go that far, but you can, because it never starts, I guess. We can't comprehend that. It goes back as far as you can go. And you can't go, it just goes farther than that. Just keeps going. And then in the future, Jesus Christ is never going to cease to exist. Now, that's important going forward. Now, go to Psalms 2. We're building it up. Psalm 2. We're laying the foundation. We'll pave the road here in a minute. Psalm chapter 2. Now, look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his who? His anointed. Now, so that's talking about David. Let's read. Okay. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, of all the passages in Scripture, I imagine Matthew 16:18 has stirred a lot of people up. It obviously has. You know, saying that Peter's the rock when Jesus Christ is the rock. And you got the Catholic cult being built off the false understanding that Peter's the rock. A cursing Jewish fisherman that had a mother-in-law. Anyway, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't want, hey, if I was to worship the Pope, I don't think I would. Anyway, okay, we could run that rabbit for a while. So, I don't even know how I got off on Peter, but anyway. Verses that have stumbled people up. Acts 2:38. I mean, hey, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And people say that, oh, you better be baptized, not knowing who it's talking to and not knowing when it's written. Okay? Now, and not comparing Scripture with Scripture, with Ephesians 2:8 that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'd say baptism, water baptism is a work. Well, it's not of that. Well, Acts 2:30, you know, I'll let the pastor, you know, explain that, you know. But I'm sure y'all know about that. Okay, so there's landmines in the Scripture that the Lord let be in there, and you know, Bible talks about stumbling blocks, and I'll give you this is an aside, you know, from, you know, but whenever you come across a passage of Scripture that you don't understand, and I don't know if y'all have done that, but it has me all the time. Like, man, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't talk like that to the Lord. Well, maybe sometimes, but anyway. There's all kind of Scripture in there that I can't explain it. I just don't know. I mean, there's tons of Scriptures in there. You say, well, you don't sound like a preacher. It just is what it is, okay? I mean, he's God, I'm not. What he gives me light on, I just got to rejoice with that. And what I don't have light on, I just got to believe it.
Amen. That's right.
And that's the thing with these verses that we, you know, if there's a verse you don't understand, don't try to just yank it out to fit in your whatever system of thinking. Just try to get the context and ask the Lord to show you. And if he doesn't show you, just wait on him and he might show you later.
That's right.
Amen.
You could talk to your pastor and ask him, say, brother, this is really stumping me up. You got any ideas? The Lord might give it to him, or get this, he may have already given it to him and it's ready there for you if you'll just ask him. But there might be one that you don't know and that you ask him. And I mean, Brother Miller's a studied student of the Word of God, but there might be one that, you know, none of us have an idea on.
Right.
But here's the thing. We got to believe it whether we understand it or not.
That's right.
Now, here's what we're getting at. Acts 2. Psalms 2:7 is one of those verses that has stumped some people up. There was a council, and we're not going to get heavy into church history here, but there was a council, and if you study councils in the Bible, you'll know that it's something you better watch out for. But there was a council convened in 325 A.D. Called the Council of Nicaea, and it helped birth the Catholic cult that we have today. We have that's here, present, okay? And it's going to start blooming its poisonous leaves here in the future, and probably very near future. But anyway, all that being said, there was a big stir up at this council about what this begotten meant. They said, well, the Son was eternally begotten, and what essence was he? And all this kind of crazy theological rubbish type stuff. But at least that's from what I read. I wasn't there and heard. But They said, some of them said, that Jesus Christ was begotten before Genesis 1:1 in some day before Genesis 1:1, even though there were no days before Genesis 1:1. And then you got the scriptural part, which you just compare scripture with scripture, you'll see that Jesus Christ was begotten of the Holy Ghost to Mary, who was espoused to be married to Joseph. She was found with child, that's meaning pregnant. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ, according to the King James Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only. That means me and you are not begotten sons.
That's right.
We get in through by the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord for that. But Jesus Christ is God's only begotten son. Now, if you have a ESV or NIV or whatever, one that, like, y'all know Brother Knupp, right? He says HIV, you know. Y'all have one of the Catholic Bibles that Protestants use? If you have one of those, which I've got a bunch, that doesn't mean I believe them, you'll probably read God's only son in John 3:16 instead of only begotten, which is a bald-faced lie, because I'm a son of God. Adam was a son of God, and there were some sons of God that showed up in Job with Satan. Different types of sons. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, get this. Do I need to get up on our timeline? No, not yet. Jesus Christ was begotten in time.
That's right.
All right, get this. He's from everlasting. He's to everlasting. But he was begotten in time.
Amen.
All right? Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's very important because we're going somewhere with this. All right? He was begotten in time. Now, let's run a cross reference. Where are we going to go? Let's go to, let's just look at verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, to put this out doctrinally, I mean, if somebody doesn't come to Jerusalem during the millennial reign, I think God's going to shut the faucet off. Is that not what it said? It doesn't say shut the faucet off. They ain't going to get rain. So when there's a king, you need to respect the king. Okay? And he's coming. But anyway, all right, so the Son shows up in verse 12. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You say, well, brother, I don't know about that begotten stuff. You sure it was in time? Well, just let's see a cross reference. Hebrews chapter 1. You'll find this in multiple places in the scriptures. We'll cover these two. Hebrews chapter 1. I didn't mark my pages. Okay, look at verse 4. Let's start in verse 1. We need to get the context. God, who everybody there, Hebrews 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means different manners, okay? But God said divers, so we're going to use the Bible word. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past, or it could be in the verse. Anyway, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's capital S, by the way. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We know that Jesus Christ is the Creator from John 1. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then you go to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. We know it's Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself... Guys, we're trying to get to verse 6 here, but there's so much in here. It just kind of feels odd just reading over it. It's a heavy, but anyway, we'll keep reading. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hey, there ain't no human priest that you can go and have at a confessional booth that can do that.
Amen.
By himself purged our sins. Somebody I'm reading a book right now called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Have any of y'all read that? Charles Chiniquy? It's put out by Chick Publications. But anyway, it's an eye-opener. But anyway, I'm glad I have the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Being so much better than the angels. All right, that's important. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time? Oh, here's our verse that we was trying to quote. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Unto which of the angels said he that? He said it to Jesus Christ. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That's capital S there at the end of verse 5. Now look at verse 6. You say, well, when did that happen? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. All right? Who is the first begotten? What did God do with the first begotten? He brought him into the world. Okay? He was begotten into the world. There you go. Brought in the first begotten into the world. He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And unto the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Oh, wait. Micah 5, let's backtrack. First verse we mentioned, okay? Micah 5:2 said, talking about Jesus Christ, he was from everlasting, right? We're repeating a point we've already made, okay? And then in this verse, in verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Hey, next time a Russellite, a Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, pull that one out.
Yeah.
And make sure you use the King James Bible, but you know. Thy throne, O God. That's like Stephen calling upon God saying, Lord Jesus. Anyway. All right, but look at his throne. It's forever and ever. This way. All right, you say, Kyle, you have thrown that point down so much, I don't know what to do with myself. Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. That's going to... I don't want to go there yet. Sorry. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26. All right, let's take a break. And let's review. One question. Was Jesus Christ begotten in time or in eternity? It was in time. Right here. Well, right here. We'll say this is the birth. Okay. Now, look at Acts 26. I appreciate the water, brother, whoever brought that up. Acts 26. All right. Look at verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. This is Paul talking here, talking to King Agrippa. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So Paul is using the scriptures that they had there to preach. Okay? So look at verse 23. What is it saying? That Christ should suffer. Where could we find that? Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, okay, that Christ should suffer. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Now, let's read through the verse and then we'll come back. And should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, the first that should rise from the dead? I thought Lazarus rose from the dead before Jesus did. I mean, did he not come up out of the grave? So, there's either something we're missing or something, okay? Now let's look at the verse again. One way you could look at it, I'm not even going to go that right. Let's just compare Scripture with Scripture, okay? Remember in 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath and her son died? And wasn't it Elijah that came along and he sprawled out on the child and the child got warm and came back? That was somebody coming back from the dead. The widow of Zarephath. What about the Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings 4? You say, I don't remember that one. Well, let's look at it right quick. The Shunammite woman's son, he got up from the dead, okay? What about, remember when Elisha had been buried, he threw him in there, and then I believe it was the Moabites were invading the land, and they had this guy and they needed to bury him? Like, oh, the Moabites are coming, let's throw him in the grave right quick. And they found a sepulcher and threw him in there, and it happened to be, of all people, it happened to be Elisha's sepulcher. And man, when that guy hit Elijah's bones, boom, he got up. And Elisha stayed in the grave, but this guy got up. He came back. You say, where are you getting with this? I know what it said. We're going to prove Scripture with Scripture. Now, this is going to hold you out for a little bit, okay? Not long. We're about to wrap up. Don't worry. But we got to figure out what it's talking about. What about the widow of Nain's son in Luke chapter 7? Came back. We talked about Lazarus. What about Jairus' daughter? Remember, the Lord went and raised her up. But there's something different about Jesus Christ getting up than all these people. One, every one of them was before Jesus Christ came to earth and died and was buried and rose again. Okay, you got Jairus' daughter. Jesus was in his earthly ministry, but he hadn't died yet. But you know something different about all those people? They died again. Let's rewind. Every single one of those people had to die again on planet Earth. They died, were raised, and then they had to go back and die again. Think about Lazarus. Lazarus dies, he's sick, and he dies, and then the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus comes out of the grave and get his, you know, burial garments off or whatever. And however many years later, guess what happened to Lazarus? Well, I mean, unless he was one of the saints which slept and arose there at the, you know, after the resurrection there, as far as I know, Lazarus is still dead. But he was revived, but he died again. So what's this thing about Jesus Christ? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple cross-references, and then we're going to tie it all together, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you, something you can rejoice in the Lord about. Colossians chapter 1. All right. Look at verse 18. I really enjoy seeing this stuff in the Scripture. I mean, the Lord's got this thing all put together like a puzzle. Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? We won't talk about that right now, but just, you know, firstborn. Look at verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now look at verse 18. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's us, okay? And it's not just this assembly, it's anybody who's saved, okay? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. There's a cross reference. He's the firstborn from the dead. Now, look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We're just going to get to the point here. And, all right, Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now, that sounds like what we've been talking about. Him which is, current, and which was, past tense, and which is to come, future tense. Okay? And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Before it said from the dead in Colossians. This says the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. All right. So you say, what in the world are you talking about? We've covered and like, I don't know what's going on. Let's get this thing figured out so we can figure out what's going on. Okay. We know that Jesus Christ is from everlasting and he's to everlasting. Okay, we got that nailed down from Micah, okay, and from Psalm, and a couple other places we went, okay? We also got it nailed down when he said, this day have I begotten thee, that it was in time, okay? We've got that part. And another thing we've got, that he's the first to rise from the dead, and here it says he's the first begotten of the dead. We know that prior to Jesus Christ, this is what we've built up to the whole message, okay? This is it, okay? Prior to Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and rising from the dead, what did everybody do that got up from the dead? Back down they went, however many years later. When Jesus Christ, who's from everlasting, who was begotten in time, okay? And in time, he rose from the dead. He's the first begotten of the dead. And he's the first one to rise up and to keep going this way and never stop. All right? Now, does that make sense? People before Jesus Christ got up and then they went back down. Okay? They're waiting for the resurrection of the dead. Okay? Of the dead. All right? But Jesus Christ was the first begotten from the dead and of the dead. From the dead, meaning he got up, but other people still stayed there. Okay? Now, guess what? You say, that's cool. Jesus Christ is from everlasting. He was begotten in time. He rose from the dead in time, and he's going to be to everlasting. What's the big... that's cool. I mean, yeah, it is. Okay? Where do we come in all that? You know, say, well... what does the Bible say that the mystery is? Okay? We're stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay? It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. I appreciate pastors like Pastor Miller. Just keep on plugging along. Okay? That's what's required in stewards is to keep plugging. Okay? Being found faithful. Just keep going. Okay? All right? But one of the mysteries that Paul mentioned, the mystery which is Christ in, what's your name? Julia. That's a pretty name. Julia, how are you?
Joy.
Joy's in prettier. Joy, how old are you? 13? Seven. Okay. I'm sorry, Joy. I should have asked you for a pickup. Joy, seven. Okay. Now, Joy, there's a lot to be joyous about in Jesus Christ. Because you know what we have without Christ? Back there is not even, okay, Jesus Christ back there, none of us, but we were born, and then we live for, what's the Bible say? 70, you know, normal, and if, you know, by strength, 10 more years or whatever, and then down we go. All in time is where our living goes. And then our soul, which is eternal, without Christ, is going to burn forever in the lake of fire. Without Christ. Mm-hmm. That's eternal death, and that is called the second, not resurrection, that's the second death. We talking dying twice and ain't getting back up. Forever to be in the lake of fire. But aren't you glad that there's a plan of redemption for us fallen man from a God who's always been and He ain't ever going to stop? He came in time in our sphere and was born of a virgin, begotten, and then He rose from the dead, first begotten of the dead, and guess what? Because He lives. We just celebrated Resurrection Weekend, Easter, whatever you want to call it. Jesus got up and we're celebrating it. Because He did that, what's that mystery? One of the mysteries we're talking about. Christ in you, Brother Grosnick. Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Now, we're talking about 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And we sang a song about trusting in Jesus. I forget how it goes, but anyway, we sang a song about trusting in Jesus. And hey, it's easy to think about what's going on right now and trusting Jesus through it, and that's good. We should. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Amen, Joy. You're doing good, girl, by the way. All right? But what about with eternity? Now, this morning was rough, but hey, remember the time that you trusted Jesus Christ going this way? You had no hope without Jesus Christ to get past that second death and living. You were damned to spend eternity in the lake of fire without Jesus Christ. But that mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we'll close with this. You know what the Bible says in, let's just go there. I'm not going to go here. Go to Timothy. Go to Timothy. I want to show you this, and then we'll close up for tonight. Timothy. You say first or second? I'm trying to find it. I think it's 1 Timothy. Yeah, it's first Timothy. Yep, here it is. 1 Timothy 6. Okay. Look at verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, there's the subject, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about Him. Look at verse 15, it's going to talk about Him. Which in His times, that's the times of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. What is that next part? Who only hath immortality. Mortality, kids, is when you die. That's called mortality. There's a high mortality rate of fighting in Afghanistan, okay? Or whatever it is. High chance you're going to die or whatever. Jesus Christ, and you all know what immune means. You can't get whatever it is if you're immune to a sickness, okay? All right, I'm saying this for the kids because some of these terms might be big for them, okay? Jesus Christ has immortality, meaning He's immune to dying again. And Christ in you, Joy. I don't want to pick on you anymore. But you know what I got when I got saved as a little boy? I got immortality because the only one who has immortality moved in. And according to the book of Romans, He ain't never moving out.
Amen.
That's the message. So if you get anything, you can trust in Jesus down here, and you can trust Him for when the time comes, whenever it is, to take our last breath, or when the trumpet sounds, that if you have Jesus Christ, you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. That's it, Pastor.